Hello, welcome to Bagel Tech Background Noise. With me, Jutta Rankin. It's the Mac Show. We're here to talk all the week's Mac news, and there isn't any, so we'll be throwing crap around. And I've got to start off with an apology, because last week, Dr. Happy Mac proved just how volatile he can be and used a bad word on the podcast, and I forgot to edit the bad word out, and it got posted. So any of you that listened to it and were offended, I'm sorry. I don't mean it, but it was just a complete and utter cock-up on my part. And Andrew has promised that he'll try hard to swear no more on the podcast. At least he'll go for at least half an hour. Maybe a whole hour, who knows? But based on the fact there's no frigging Mac news, we won't be doing a whole hour show today, I don't think. Sorry, mate?
That's a good word, is it?
What?
You're...
Frigging.
Frigging, that's fine, is it?
As far as I'm aware.
Yeah. Cock up is okay.
I frigging hope so.
Just don't use the word Microsoft.
Now I've been reading the Jobs autobiography, I have stumbled upon the word insanely great, which I use... proficiently in the Big Show last night, and I intend to carry on using it. So I've got an insanely great panel with me this afternoon. Top left, Mr. Chris Forsman from Chicago and Ars Technica. Hello, dude.
Hello.
How goes it?
It's cold, and I feel sick to my stomach, but gosh darn it, I'm here anyway.
Yeah, but that's because you ate too much popcorn and sweets last night at the movies.
No.
It's not because you're sick. You haven't got a virus. Don't play it up. And smear it on thick.
No, I'm the last one to church something up, my friend. Let me tell you. But
By the way, you were going in the photo show. You're going to hawk something up.
Yeah, like I said, there are things coming out of either end that just don't look right, and so something's not quite right. I feel like something started off kind of bad, and then I just made it worse with all that popcorn and soda.
Yeah.
So,
from the opposite side of the Mac planet, we've got Carl Swagger. How's it going, mate?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. No hurricanes to talk about then.
We're typhoons.
You're typhoons at the moment. Jolly good.
Yeah. No. Just actually, we had a hell of a rainstorm a while ago.
Did iPhone?
I was going to have to build an ark.
4S hit you this week.
Hit Hong Kong. Didn't hit us.
There's been a bit of a ruckus as well, hasn't there?
Yeah.
You're telling me you can't get one from Hong Kong?
I probably could have got one from Hong Kong 6 months ago. But
surely there's a slow boat.
Probably slow customs is probably more like it. No, I haven't heard anything from our carriers here. Supposedly, though, if anybody from the Philippines does listen to this podcast, besides myself that downloads it once a week, is that we're supposedly getting the iPhone on two carriers now, because we have it exclusively on a thing called Globe over here. Now it's coming to Smart, which is fantastic. No more exclusivity.
If they ever merge, that's going to be the name of one hell of a firm.
Smart Globe. No kidding. Don't give me any ideas.
Smart,
we only have
two. Both smart. Yeah, either way, it's good. Below him, Dr. I Can't Make It Work. How you doing, mate?
I can now make it work.
For a tech man, sending me a tweet saying, I can't get Skype to start, my laptop won't work, I've tried the email address, but it says it's not the real one. And then you come on and there's no microphone working. You know, that doesn't do much for customer faith.
Mm-hmm.
Is it not?
It's the technical. It's the technical stuff underneath the hood. I thought he was going to make him swear. Then, be careful.
I thought he was going to break out into a George Michael tune.
Thank God he turned away from the mic when he said that. I had a good week, mate. How's the new office going?
It's still here.
It hasn't leaked yet. Then
still here. It hasn't leaked. Nothing's come through the ceiling. Nothing's gone through the floor. So,
good man.
Yeah, I'm quite pleased. Still quite happy.
Excellent. You're home from home. Your potting shed.
That's it. I've still been denied. There is no flat screen television. There is no PlayStation.
Is there a beer fridge?
Oh, wait. Did you hear that? Did that mic pick that up? My heart just broke.
Yeah.
Is there no beer fridge?
There isn't even a beer fridge.
Oh, it's uninhabitable, man.
It is. It's
a prison.
I am going to have to talk to my therapist about this right away.
It's better than a prison.
And last but by no means least, Mr. Alex Fox, how's it going, pal?
So I'm glad to hear that the Philippines are finally going to get the iPhone 3GS.
Yeah. Alex, Kyle got excited about the S, not realizing it was the last model.
Bad exactly. Yeah. But, yeah,
they're getting
right.
refurbished 3GSs.
The week in Apple news, we've got iOS 5.0.1, which is going to give us supposedly a problem with, or get rid of the problem with battery life that has been dogging everyone, but I've got to say I haven't noticed it. Apple execs award themselves 1 million shares apiece. Aren't we doing a great job pulling the company to pieces now that Steve's gone? And Apple have got one-tenth of the total US carrier market for mobile phone sales, but they're making 50% of the profit, which has got to tell you something, hasn't it? So, the week in Apple, where should we start? Apple security chief steps down after iPhone cock-up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's gone.
Is that the actual headline?
It's kind of like that, yeah. I paraphrased a little, perhaps. Vice President of Global Security, John, French-sounding name. Theriault.
I'd say that's a strange surname.
Now, he came to Apple from the people that made Viagra. Pfizer. There's got to be a joke in there. Come on.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they were trying to raise the profits. Boom, boom.
Hey.
This is what he... I think I know this is what... He worked, like, in China, tracking down and stopping, ripoffs, right?
Yeah,
so,
okay.
So there's factories in China, like, making ripoff fake Viagra or whatever they were doing. And so that's how he came over to Apple. Was doing this global investigation of like tracking down counterfeit products.
And his investigations led him to Apple. There was a fake Viagra ring at Apple. Is that what you're saying? No, I've got that wrong.
No, people making fake iPhones and all that kind of garbage and iPods.
Oh, got you.
Yeah. Viagra.
So there we go. So Viagra Man has been has stepped down. He's the guy that was in charge of the bloke who left the phone in the bar a few months ago. So
was he also not the chap that was it not related to the app that got approved? That allowed you to.
No. That's Charlie. That's different. That's information security.
Yeah, the malicious code that you could be. I seen that video this week. I think I tweeted it actually. It's quite interesting to see. When you see stuff like this and what Apple used to be and what how locked down it was, and now that Steve is gone, is it really going to hell in a handbasket in a hurry?
No.
It's just now they're allowed to report it.
Now, Charlie Miller, you have to understand, has been for years breaking holes in the iPhone and Safari on Mac OS X. So, I mean, this is his specialty. This is what he does all day long, is finding security holes and figuring out a way to exploit them.
Hmm.
And to his credit, he reported it to Apple, and that 5.0.1 update has a patch for it. So,
I mean, was he the one that did the Safari hack and he reported it to Apple and they didn't do anything, so he just published the hack? Is that the guy?
Very likely. He always alerts Apple, usually a month or more before he presents, but he always presents his work publicly. I mean, that's what, he goes to like these security conferences and gets presentations on what he discovers. So, yeah, I mean, that's what all these security researchers do. They, their whole point is to find the hole and get the company to fix it. And if they won't, the only other way to do it is to publish it publicly, because then they have to, or, everybody's going to know they weren't fixing it.
So there's a job there anyway. You can go and get it. Nuance has released Dragon Express in the Mac App Store. Now, I mean, I was quite enthralled with this one, because I think it's a great idea. I think it's a fantastic price. They're talking about £35 over here in the UK, $49 in the US. Really, really good. And then I clicked on it, and it said, no, lion only.
Oh.
So you can't get it for Snow Leopard. I mean, there's an awful lot of applications that are now saying, sorry, Lion only. I don't know if they're just trying to screw us all into going up to Lion, or whether is the genuinely coding these things that's going to mean that it just physically wouldn't work with Snow Leopard? Because I just don't believe that one iteration is going to be that different.
Lion has so many APIs that are convenient to developers, like just that make things easier to do and enable new functionality. That's why it's Lion only.
I also thought the thing with Lion is that it was the cutoff point for processors were such that they can categorically say if you write something for Lion, then the hardware in the machine will be able to cope from this point forward. Whereas if you write something from Snow Leopard, that could have the very first, I think it's Intel chips. Mm-hmm. And if you wrote for something Leopard and back, it could still be, you know, PC or whatever you call it. I can't remember what the chip's called now.
Are we just saying that effectively then what they've done is because Snow Leopard bridged so many PCs, because Snow Leopard didn't cut off the single core Intel chips, did it? It only cut off the
I think it had dual core
IBM chips.
It was dual core, but not dual core 2 or something.
Yeah, you're right.
But, you know, there's a
32-bit only.
Yeah, so there's a hardware point where Lion starts, and you can guarantee that if you write something, that it will be able
Someone's
going
to try and run it on a single core.
And they'll probably make it work.
It's just like any operating system. I mean, it's the XP factor all over again. How many people didn't want to go up to well, nobody wanted to go to Vista because Vista sucked like a pig in heat. But you know, it's like Windows 7. You get so many people that eventually, to survive as a company, and you keep making these products, you've got to upgrade. I mean, it's just how it is. I mean, I hated Line right when it first came. I'm loving it now, but I really hated it. Nothing worked with it. I really felt like I was back in Vista, honestly, when Line first came out. But it's just something that has to be. Get off XP, get the Windows 7.
See, I don't
leave your Leopard alone.
I don't mind the fact that Lion has got a couple of issues of compatibility, because that's just new operating system. It's up to the, you know, it's not Lion's fault, it's the other people's fault to catch up to it. What bothers me with Lion is the huge control over what you can and can't do, and you can't roll backwards. You can't, you know, you have to do whatever it is that Apple is now telling you to do. It's almost like they've metaphorically removed the command prompt for the intermediate user. The pros can still tweak it and move it around, but even they are going to struggle to do anything but a normal downgrade of the OS. As I said with mine, you know, I've put in the disk, and the disk won't even let me start to make the change.
Yeah, I mean, I think Lion, the other problem with Lion is there's an intrinsic, I mean, Andrew could probably tell me I'm wrong, but there seems to be an intrinsic problem with Lion. I've got three Lion machines, two of which are upgrades. You know, I had Snow Leopard, I didn't do a clean install, and I've had so many problems with the ones with the upgrades. I just haven't got round to going through the whole rigmarole of wiping it and starting with a clean install. The one that's got a clean install is perfect. Absolutely perfect. And they more or less are doing identical things. So I think Lion, the way Lion has been written, it will basically work as an upgrade, but it really doesn't like it. And I think that's sort of the background problem to why you're having issues with Lion-only software. Because there's something in there that really, it seems like they've taken out so much of the old coding that it's literally like a cutoff point. It's just they're not going to be able to make it work as well as they'd like backwards, so we're going to call it a day and start again.
I mean, that's what has happened. Some of my fellow doubters in the chat room are saying that they've been gathering their software together, waiting for it to be updated so it was compatible. Russ is saying he's getting ready to jump. Carl is saying he's jumping as well. I'm just thinking I'm getting a bit left behind, really.
Well, I think that you're definitely right there, that none of my machines that I've upgraded have performed well under Lion at all. And I've always ended up just making sure I've got a good backup and then wiping the machine and installing Lion as a fresh install and putting everything back on from the backup. And then it's been better. But I wouldn't move it into the good territory. It's been better.
Yeah, there is an issue. And it's one of these people aren't talking about it, because when Snow Leopard came out, for me, just everything went so wrong. I was banging my head against the brick wall. In fact, it was so bad that I went out and bought another Mac because it still had Leopard on it, and I had to get a job finished. So it cost me £1,500 to finish a job, and I got the last Mac in the country that came shipped with Leopard, and that's how desperate I was. And Lion didn't have the immense problems that Snow Leopard had, but it's got enough little ones there that, I mean, the Mac I'm using now is running Lion as an upgrade, and the amount of times it would, like, I'll be using Safari and it would just turn itself off, it would just shut itself down, or the startup time went from 2 minutes to sort of 4 minutes, and I've no idea why. And to be honest, I I use another machine for important stuff. And this one, as far as I'm concerned, it needs major surgery. It's just life's too short to do it.
What I've noticed about Leopard, which is strange, is that the new machines, when it's on the new machines and it comes out, it flies. But you try to install it on those older, I wouldn't say even older, just even a year ago machines, you do the upgrade, and it runs like a pig, actually. It doesn't run fast. And Alex is right. The boot time is considerably more, a lot longer on the older ones. You know, and we're not talking 2 years here. We're talking a year ago.
That's a hell of a boot time.
I'm just gonna be the naysayer here. I upgraded my last year's MacBook Air to Lion and have not had a single problem.
Oh, a whole year.
Fresh install?
Upgrade.
Ooh.
Well, maybe last year's MacBook Airs came with Snow Leopard. So.
Maybe it was written for the MacBook Airs, and that's why the rest of us are suffering.
Yeah. Could be.
Yeah, screw you guys.
Yeah. Have you got this SSD in that, though?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. That's why it's fast.
It's fast.
Imagine how fast it would be if it worked.
Apple is requiring sandboxing in Mac apps as of March 2012. So if you've got an application that you want to submit to the Mac App Store, unless you've got completely and utterly sandboxed, all in one package, totally secure, you're going to get told to get stuff straight away. Any implications, or is this just a good, sensible move?
It's actually a mixed bag, what I'm hearing from developers. The problem is, the upside is, it can increase security. So, just as, you know...
It can't increase security.
It's just like users go to the App Store, they get something on their, for their iPhone or their iPad, it's all sandboxed. You know, there's a certain level of intrinsic trust there, and that's what Apple's trying to bring to the Mac App Store. The problem that developers are running into is that the Mac for so long has relied on this inner application. You can send your Dreamweaver HTML files to BBEdit, and it can clean up extra tags or whatever and send them back. You can make Transmit, which is an FTP client. You know, you can string it together with Automator or Apple Script and have it automatically upload. Maybe you use Coda to write a website, and then you can have it push all the code via Transmit to your web server and all these different things. Like, the sandboxing, as it's currently implemented, makes a lot of that either really hard or impossible to do.
Yeah.
And that's the problem that developers are running into. They can either, some apps just can't even be made the way the rules are now. Some would have to take out functionality that people have come to rely on. And the problem that they're looking at is there's so many customers that they're getting from the Mac App Store. If they aren't in there, they're going to be losing all those customers. There's all these new Apple users that have only ever used the Mac App Store to get apps.
I mean, one of the things that I'd heard was the fact that actually what it's going to do is make scripting incredibly difficult.
Right.
Because, you look at things like Doug Scripts and so on, where you've got very, very useful and helpful scripting that you can apply afterwards to applications to, update expired podcasts, do a whole pile of other stuff. And effectively, it's going to nip that straight in the bud. There's not going to be any scripts out there, which is fine if you're talking about there's lots of malicious scripts. But, I mean, if you look at the amount of scripts that you can get free of charge from sites now, would I be wrong in saying they're 99.9% malicious free?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of malicious code out there, I don't think, for scripting. The community is still doing a good job. So again, is this Apple kind of almost breaking up the community?
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of concern.
Hmm. Anyone else? Matt, Andrew?
Sorry?
Do you feel like joining in, dude? No?
Yeah, anytime.
I wish you hadn't found your password now.
He's busy with that beer fridge, trying to set that up.
He's sitting thinking, he's on eBay looking for beer fridges. That's what it is. And he's frozen. Yeah. There we go.
In reality, what this does is stops. I mean, it gives Apple control over it, gives him back again. Now, Apple can develop, if you like, a scripting tool themselves, which they've got. It's called Automator. But they could have like a central unit, like like a mission control thing, whereas you can have an output file which Apple will accept, and then it will then be able to stick it as an input file to another bit of software. But all these bits of software are going to have to be compatible with their central processing unit, if you like, mm-hmm. software-driven central processing unit. So it makes sense for the future, because then Apple can have a central hub where anything malicious, so a central security hub, if you like, and it could be cloud-based. I don't know how they'd want to do it.
Mm.
But there could be a central hub, and if they force everyone to work within this environment, it's awkward now, but in the future, I think it can only actually help us as consumers.
Yeah, which they are doing as well. I mean, that's the interesting thing, is that they're saying that there can be exceptions to the sandboxing rule for things that they have to request and specifically justify at the start, but eventually that's going to go as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, to be completely fair, people need to understand that Apple's not saying that not getting rid of scripting, they're not getting rid of apps to do this. It's going to be a restriction for apps through the Mac App Store. It's the problem that developers are seeing is that they are getting so many customers from the Mac App Store that it's...
Yeah, there is no other outlet.
Yeah, like it's business suicide to not have the app in there. You know, you can still put up a website and, you know, download my app, or here's PayPal or whatever. I mean, you can still do that. But the problem that developers are seeing is that they're getting so many customers from the Mac App Store that it's essentially if they're not there, then it's not on sale.
Just as a point, if I'm sure you're going to remember this, but just before Lion came out, or in fact, when they gave the Lion sneak peek, we did a Mac show, and the whole show was, are Apple making this, are they going to force everything to go through the App Store? And that was a really big worry we all had at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all sat back and it came out and thought, oh, no, you can still get everything else from where you want it. Is this the first stage of what we were worried about?
I mean, I think that the thing that we've got there is that there is a Hobson's choice, if you like, for developers, isn't there? Because if they develop a great application, they stick it on the website, they allow direct downloads, even if they give it away for free, they don't get the exposure unless they go to Mac App Store. They go to Mac App Store, they get promotion, they get what's new and noteworthy and all that kind of stuff, and it makes a huge difference to the reach of it.
Sure.
You know, what you'd love them to do is to put it almost like a hobbled function, in which they're not going to let them do, but then it's almost like go here and you can get the full enabled version where you can tweak it yourself and there's loads of scripts you can add, but all of that's going to disappear, all the add-ons are going to go, all that.
Yeah.
And it's getting rid of scripting via the back door, although I agree with what you're saying, Chris. You know, they're not saying we're stopping scripting, not by any stretch.
Right.
But isn't this just a revenue thing, though? Sorry.
Well, I think, like Alex was saying, that I think it's up to Apple to think about and decide and implement some way. You know, I spoke to one developer who was saying that some of the things that are now impossible could be possible if Apple provided developers with a sandbox safe API to be able to do it. They just don't yet. So I feel like, you know, Apple has some work to do. Developers, you know, they need to be in touch, you know, filing radars with Apple and talking to the developer relations people. And I don't think it's a lost cause, but I think right now there's just a lot of unknowns. And yeah.
Okay. There's a couple of good points in the chat room. The first one is Andrew, a whole series of links from Claw for beer fridges on eBay, so do click that and purchase one before the end. They're starting at £20, dude, so you know, no, knock it, click on there and stick a bit in, mate, while we're talking, because you're not doing anything else at the minute. And there's a point from Robert saying they need to have Automator 2 ready in place with loads of APIs all tested and secure before they can really start enforcing sandboxing. But from what the stories we're seeing there, Robert, they're saying sandboxing will be March 2012, and there is no budging on that date. It's not going anywhere.
And also, Automator's not going anywhere either, is it? It's one of their sort of reasonably backroom forgotten tools. And yet, you know, when you get the group to grips with it, which I've not done particularly, you know, you can do some pretty, you know, some massively awesome stuff with it.
Steve in the chat room's got a kudos here. He's saying he raised a bug with Automator that Apple have accepted.
Wow.
I raised
them. They're not going to do anything about it.
No. I mean, I raised the bug over the EXIF data on the new iPhone 4. They still haven't changed that. Still doesn't orientate properly.
It's funny, isn't it?
But well done, Steve.
You raised a bug and now your car's damaged. Interesting.
I hadn't thought of that.
What's another interesting thing about Automator? I mean, it's another way around it. But why is it just not... Why don't they develop, like everything else, a graphical interface where you drag into your input side, you drag your other application into your output side, and then let it handle everything. It can go through their API, it can go through their central unit. So it...
Sorry, are you talking about... Because that's kind of what Automator is.
No, I'm talking about one with their central unit. So if everything is sandboxed and it's all come through their app store, that it can go through that way. That is their central unit. Yes, it is what Automator is, but you're
sort of like a special Automator sandbox.
Exactly. Just
Are you talking about an app's airlock?
Sort of, but it's like a security locked Automator that can only run scripts that are approved. So you get, I don't know, you got a Photoshop to, a word processing document, for instance. And you, whoever it is, they license it, Apple write it, Apple check it, they can make their money off it, because that's a part of the trouble with the scripts. Apple don't necessarily get any revenue from the scripts because someone else writes them, they get put through, they work or they don't work, that's the risk we take. But if you are Photoshop to Word or whatever it is, it's...
Why do you want a document from Photoshop to Word?
I don't know. Maybe you've done a Photoshop document and you want it to go...
It's just an example.
Exactly. Thank you. That's the first time you've ever stuck up to me. But let's say it can go through their security set of Automator apps that can't be altered, can't be anything. So the output is whatever you want it to be. The input is whatever you want to do. And that goes through their security box.
Alex, I love you to bits, but I have no frigging idea what you've just talked about.
I do. I get it. I think it's a brilliant idea. I think what he's saying is really smart. What he's saying is that imagine Automator has its own special sandbox, and it can take input from a sandbox app, and it can put output into another sandbox app. But then in the Automator sandbox, it's got its own security where it keeps bad things from happening. You know, like it's sort of a maybe.
So
like
it's predefined APIs within a sandboxed subset.
But it's security, and it's been assessed, and it's been built or guaranteed or whatever by Apple. And then you have problems.
Well, and I'm not even sure that the scripts necessarily need to be vetted. I think that the sandbox just need to be created in such a way that it accepts input and it puts the output, but in that sandbox, it checks to make sure something bad isn't happening when the input comes in or when the output goes out.
It's like an old-fashioned antivirus, but it doesn't run your whole system. It only runs at the point where it's going from one Automator to another.
Right.
Go on, Carl. You got something to add there.
I was just going to say, you could just call it the Automator Guardian Angel.
There you go. Right, Dr. Happy Matt, get on with building.
Who's going to do the presentation to Tim Cook? Because I it's not going to be me, trust me. I have no clue what anything's doing. But
well, Chris is quite excited.
I'll do it. Sure.
Chris gets Chris it. Will- and
So how are we setting up this company?
How many people
engineering?
How many people use Automator actively here?
A couple of times, and I completely lost my way with it.
Oh, no, I think it's cool. Have you got the book?
A book? No, well, you bothered reading something before you tried it.
All that
words
thought.
Words on a page?
Just talk amongst yourselves.
La 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 la. Anyway, how are you doing, guys?
Great, yeah. This is a great idea. Let's get this all set up right now. Get the patents together.
Yeah, I think we're in there.
If something's somebody writes some code that executes and gets through the sandbox, then Apple are basically shafted.
I tell you what's good though, Andrew. Do you think if we wrote this, we could get it into the App Store?
You and the dead that's tree.
That's 10.5. I wouldn't use that one.
Now, Automator for Mac OS 10, 10.4. If you pick that up for pennies at Amazon secondhand, because it's for a leopard. But once you've read that, there is nothing that's going on in Snow Leopard or Lion that you won't know how to do. Right. It is dead easy to follow. They could have saved on half the paper because they've only printed on half the bloody sheets. But that book is just everything about Automator. And once you've read that, Automator just comes to life.
Yeah.
Ben Waldie, Automator for Mac OS 10.5 Leopard. There you go.
So that's going to be a vintage antique book before long, is it?
Well, brand new, it was £21.99, but I didn't buy it brand new. Bought it.
Is Automator going to exist?
If you just look carefully at the site, the way the see the pages there, whoever owned this the last time was obviously really excited by it and had to wash it.
Oh,
it's not. It's a bit all over the place. So. Yeah,
they don't call it Automator for nothing.
Oh, geez.
Automator's cool. I've used it. I use it a lot. I do an awful lot with photos for it. Shrinking them for premium, you know, for kind of preview sizes and that kind of stuff makes a huge, huge difference.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to admit, I use the functionality in Bridge to do it, but it's the same sort of thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. What about Chatroom? Chatroom, tell us if you use Automator. Go on. Sorry, you're saying, Chris?
Oh, I was just agreeing with Alex.
Ugh, you two. That's will you two get a room?
Packed him up twice.
Well, that's twice a lifetime. That is too much.
It's not Sal Segoyan. Sal Segoyan's AppleScript 123, isn't he? It's different.
Wasn't that Lotus?
No, I've got AppleScript 123 by Sal Segoyan, but I've never opened it. I'm too scared. I don't know enough. Automator, I mean, though, lots of pictures.
But Automator really does is allow you to visually create an AppleScript. So.
Yeah. It's a dummy's front end.
If you're the programming type, you could just write it from scratch if you wanted to. If you're that kind of nerd.
Sal did Automator 2. I don't know. I don't think he did. But never mind. So. Do any of us here use it? Kyle, have you ever used Automator?
No, never have.
DHM?
Nope.
Now, you surprised me because I would have thought you were the guy who was Mr. Automator. Yeah.
No, Dr. I've never really had a
Happy Mac, indeed.
Much that needed, you know, that I've wanted to sit down and invest the time in doing the script rather than just manually doing what I was doing. So, I mean, I do think it's an undervalued app, and you know, sometimes you hear what people make it do, and you're in awe of it. So perhaps I'm going to go to Amazon and rather than buy the beer fridge, I'm going to buy that book.
No, priorities, beer fridge.
Yeah,
first.
I'm going to buy the beer fridge.
Yeah, no, beer fridge, absolutely.
Anyway, also, on a thing, why is there no talk about Siri moving from the iPhone to the Mac?
Because it's not.
Talk about that.
Because it's not.
No, I know, it's not. Done, I mean, just like, bloody shouldn't it? Seeing people use Siri on their phone.
I think it's a disgrace. I want to know why we're not talking about this thing that's never going to happen.
It is going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
What are you talking about?
It will happen.
I've read a dozen articles about people saying the exact same thing.
How about the article I've just been reading called "Want to Use Siri to Control Your Mac? Now You Can."
Go on.
Okay, now, I did read it earlier. It's all to do with you use Evernote, I think, and you use that to connect from your phone to your Mac, and it translates from the Siri on your phone. And so that, for instance, gives the command to Evernote, which then sends it to your Mac, which then Evernote on your Mac, which then translates it into Mac useful commands. So you can use Siri on your phone, which then gets translated via Evernote to your Mac, and then it works.
Even more lost than where we were talking before now, Alex. Do you follow the same rules of physics?
In the chat room, read it and weep. I tell it all, and it's all to do with Evernote.
Yeah. So you can set up an email address that you can email notes to Evernote. And so what you can do is then set up a contact on your iPhone with that email address and then tell Siri to send that email address a message.
Right, but how does that control your Mac?
So Evernote is a cloud service where you can sync all these different pictures and notes and all those other things.
Okay, get that.
So if you've got the client running on your Mac, that note, once you send it to that email address, goes to your Evernote account in the cloud and gets synced automatically to your Mac. So what he's saying is there's something in the Evernote client where you can trigger commands with a note.
Oh.
So you say, you know, Siri, send, you know, John at Evernote.com.
A piece of AppleScript.
Yeah, a piece of AppleScript, whatever it is.
And it executes when it gets there.
Once it gets synced to your Mac, then it executes.
But isn't that a bit dangerous?
I didn't say it was good. I just said it could be done.
Yeah. Sure.
But it's not. I mean,
If someone figures out that email address, they could do stuff to your Mac, I suppose.
And what did you say it was? John@evernote.com.
Oh, it was an example.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Poor old John.
It's always John's fault.
Well, I just think we just need to get Siri on the Mac, period. Turn on the Mac. Yes. Hey, Siri, how's it going? You know.
Well, yeah, we're back to the story we didn't finish, which was about Nuance.
Open the pod bay doors, right?
Yeah, Nuance. Yeah,
pretty much, yeah.
Nuance, shut up. Nuance launched Dragon Express in the Mac App Store for $35. We never finished that story.
I think the idea is really cool. I just got a copy to review, so I'm working on it. I haven't really got to play with it much yet. But it's this speech recognition is something I wanted to get into because I'm just a terribly slow typist and I've just always had trouble with it. So it's something I really want to try out. But what surprised me is just right away, everyone complained about the price. $50 or just like, oh my God, that's so much.
Oh, that's half the price of the standard version for MatchSpeak Dictate.
No, in the US, the standard version's $200.
Yeah.
So it's a quarter of the price.
No, I mean, when I first started the consultancy business that I've got, I had to write handouts galore and manuals galore for that. And I bought a copy. It was when it first came out of Simply Speaking. Was it? Is that it? Was that Dragon Simply Speaking?
Dragon Naturally Speaking.
Naturally Speaking. That was Dragon Naturally Speaking. And I bought a Windows machine just so I could use it, so I could write all these handouts. And I set the whole thing up, including the price of the laptop that I used it on, for like £500. And I wrote all of the manuals in 6 weeks. And I mean, I'm talking an enormous amount of paperwork here. And it was brilliant. It was fluid. When I'd done the training, which was probably a couple of hours worth of training to get it up to speed, it was very, very accurate. I did it in very quiet rooms, and I wrote thousands of pages worth of documents in hardly any time whatsoever. And the application now must be, I mean, I've had Mac Speech Dictate when that came out, and I've got the upgrade for that for Naturally Speaking for Nuance now that they've changed it over. But the only thing I found that was difficult was the when to switch it on, when to switch it off, the wake up and do something, the go to sleep bit. That never really worked particularly well. And if this thing comes on and works really, really well, I mean, I'd spend £34 just to try it.
Yeah. Yeah, and the basic way that it works, it's much more simplified than the Dragon Dictate or the Dragon Naturally Speaking on Windows. You basically you hit a hotkey or you switch the app on, you talk, it translates into text, and then you can with a button you can send it to an open text editor, or you can just copy to the clipboard and paste it wherever. There's a couple extra features like for doing searches and sending tweets, which is, it's just kind of cool, kind of nice, but not a big deal. But the real basic thing is like you talk, it trans, you know, it converts it to text, you copy and paste and you're done. And so, you know, with that kind of functionality, I think if, as long as what you're trying to do is just get some text out, get your ideas out, and then you can, you know, even, you know, paste it into Word or whatever and edit and fix it up and whatever. I think for, especially like someone like myself, like I said, I'm a really slow typist. I think it's going to be it's totally worth $50 to me.
I mean, I'm a really good typist. I do between 60 and 80 words a minute. But the one thing that I got very into was using a mouse and the verbal commands. Once you get into that, and you know, instead of highlighting something and saying, cut that, highlight window, click, copy, paste, you know, paste that. You just use the mouse and you'd highlight it, copy that, click over, paste that, and that was it. It was done. I got very, very fast at doing that as well for editing. It was well worth it. But it was on Windows. That was the only bit. I was heaving the whole time I was doing it. A bit sick in my mouth, you know, that kind of thing. Who's going to buy it? I will. But I'm not on 7 yet. But on 7? Jesus. No, I'm not on Lion yet.
Yeah.
That's all that talking about the W word.
Yeah, very good. And I was looking at something to do with Siri earlier. It was quite interesting. And that's basically how it knows that you're getting ready to talk to it.
Does it make the sun turn the opposite direction?
That's it. It's exactly how it works. No, what it does is, you can't see it, obviously, because it's infrared. But actually, in the top of the phone, there's actually an infrared light. And that's a sensor for It knows how far it is away from your face. Of course, you can't see the light, but it can read how, you know, if that light's bouncing off of something.
So, proximity sensor.
Yeah, but that's one of the things they were saying between the iPhone 4 and the iPhone 4S, which is one of the differences, is, and it might be why the batteries are running down, is because of that light is on the whole time in the iPhone 4S, whereas in the iPhone 4, it was only on when you were making a phone call. So it's quite clever how it knows. So maybe with the Lion version, you can buy a separate microphone, which has got a built-in infrared device that knows when you've put your face near enough the microphone to give a give it some dictation. So maybe they could add that as an added extra. And they could always put it through Automator and it could do something really clever then.
Siri, make me a sandwich.
Go to the fridge yourself.
But if your Mac was running Siri, not to be creepy and about it, and it's lucky that you know your Mac does most
too late.
Now have a glossy screen on the wipe clean screen. But the relationship you would develop with your computer would be so much more, not intense, but you just
intimate. Intimate, perhaps.
Intimate, that's the one. Yeah, seeing people use their iPhones, the people that get Siri really get Siri. And, it's the one thing that says, I would never have an iPhone 4 because I would lose my Siri. And, you know, just to lock people into the system, I would never have another computer because I would lose my Siri. It's what the GUI was when the Mac originally came out again. And it nearly really needs to get onto the Mac double pronto.
Yeah, but does that mean if the Mac crashes, you wear a black armband?
You don't already?
I'll tell you what, a Siri would be out the window, I'll tell you, mate.
But the thing is, with your desktop, the last thing you want is Siri learning where, you know, what it is and what you do and where you go. Because you come down in the morning and you say, good morning, Siri, and it says, Google Anna Kournikova, Ewan.
What time do you call this? It says Ewan.
Don't you ever sleep?
Yeah, aren't you supposed to be making tea?
Sorry, Andrew, you said something sensible.
Would it learn your Google search history?
No, I hope not.
Do you know what it would be going, Siri, I know what you want. No!
No!
Yeah, that's the thing. Your wife could come in and bribe it with something.
Yeah, my mom's looking.
What are you talking about, Siri? You must be thinking of someone else.
You could just say, you go, holy crap. And he goes, no, the correct term is hide that. Switch windows.
I wonder when the first Siri divorce is going to be. The first divorce that someone's going to have in court and they're going to blame Siri as part. You know, what's it when you can cite someone in a divorce case?
Right.
Steve in the chat room saying,
I'm waiting for the first Japanese guy to marry his iPhone 4S.
But it'll be a mass wedding, won't it? It'll be one of them 500 people all in the square somewhere and they'll all get married together in Korea.
Siri, do you take this man to be your husband? No.
Sorry, I don't understand that command. Could you please repeat?
Steve in the chat room.
What did you mean houseplant?
Steve in the chat room saying, Siri, do you know what your husband was looking at while you were out? Shall I show you?
Oh, yeah, because she could make better relationships with other people. Siri could go behind your back.
Go on.
Oh, dear.
I
don't know what happens in your house.
I don't know.
So it'll be like, did you know that he bought that lens on eBay last week?
Oh, holy crap. No, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah,
I'm less worried about the porn than I am about the purchasing.
Yeah, could you imagine? You don't only have to hide your credit card statement. Where are you going with that Mac? Why are you putting the Mac in the boot of your car every day when you go to work? Nothing, dear. I need it with me wherever I go.
I bought a new air rifle last week because the one I had was a pain in the ass. So I took Ellis out and we bought it and I said, right, this is our secret. And if you tell mummy, we don't go anymore. We don't go shooting anymore at the rugby club and do the target shooting. Why can't I tell mummy? No, look, this is our secret. This is our hobby. Mummy doesn't need to know, okay? And when I got back, I told Sharon I'd bought it anyway. Because she sat down and she said, I've spent a bit too much money at my mum's. I had to buy some clothes. And I said, oh, that's all right. That's good because I bought a gun yesterday. She said, oh, right, okay, so we're even then. I said, yeah, definitely. I said, but I've sworn a list of secrecy. So she spent the next 3 hours winding Ellis up about, what did Daddy buy while I was away? Well, I'm not in the room. And the poor kid, but he didn't crack. I'll give him his due. He didn't crack.
Yeah, you wait until he comes in and says, right, I've got a secret, Dad, how much?
He hasn't learned extortion yet, no. Teresa's saying you're going to put your eye out with a gun. No, I don't think so. I hold it the right way around. It's fine.
Well, you said the last one was a pain in the arse. So I don't know what you've been doing with that.
Yeah, true. But I had the safety on when I used it there. Anything else to talk about in Apple News? Because I've got to say, I think that's pretty much it. Apart from the execs giving themselves $1 million each, or $300 million bucks each. But
there is one.
Go on.
Just hit the press right now.
Go on.
Prices for the unlocked iPhones are now out. They're now selling. They will be GSM only, kind of stuff we already knew. $649 for the 16 gigabyte, $749 for the 32 gigabyte, $849 for the 64 gigabyte.
Is that all? Okay, can I get like eight?
Are you talking about for you? For the Philippines?
No, everywhere.
I'm lost now. What's the story? Unlocked.
Apple is now selling unlocked, no contract iPhone 4Ss.
Jolly good. And it's how much? $649
for the 16 gigabyte, $749 for the 32 gigabyte, and $849 for the 64 gigabyte.
Wow. Or
GSM only. Don't expect CDMA ever.
That's an expensive.
I'll take a dozen.
Okay. Well, the CDM phone has got the card built in, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But I mean, $849 for a 64 gig unlocked, is that expensive?
$649 for a 16 gig.
No, $849 you said for.
Yeah, 64 gig.
Yeah, we're paying £699
For unlocked.
For unlocked, and they're all unlocked. You can't buy a locked one here in the UK.
Oh.
They've not bothered with it this time.
That's interesting. It makes you wonder why telephone companies, there's a proper word for that. They don't, give you a very, very good tariff on something like that, because you know that whenever they, sell you a phone and you're paying £50 a month, and they end up losing money hand over fist anyway. So you'd imagine that they'd be really, really, really keen to sign up everybody on an unlocked iPhone. So they could possibly offer you some sort of, I'm sure they couldn't give you a direct subsidy, but they could say, okay, we'll do it on a £10 a month tariff, and trying to get everybody to be financially better off to go and buy their iPhones before they come to them.
Well, I mean, the economics, I think, are much different in the UK. Here in the US, like, almost everyone has almost all phones are locked. They come carrier locked, and you have these contracts and all these subsidies, and you guys already get way better prices on mobile service.
Yeah, significantly.
I don't feel bad for you.
Oh, I don't feel bad myself. Knowing that you lot are worse off, it makes me feel quite good.
Well, that's you've got significantly better competition. We've got significantly better competition than you have, Chris. But, of course, you guys are taking China Telecom. China Telecom want a license to operate mobile communications in the US. Can you see them getting that one?
Huh? Yep, I can, because I say we owe them a lot of money.
Yeah, I say let them do it.
Well, here's the one thing that really surprised me, because I was taking the mickey out last night of Eric Lanigan on the big show about it, and I also then put it into today's Daily Story, and I went looking for the image to go on the banner on the front page, and I just put in China Telecom logo, and the China Telecom logo came up. I downloaded it and I put it into the Photoshop, and then just as I pasted it in, I noticed it said European division. They're already here. They're already in Europe. Who are they working for? Oh, I didn't know that. Maybe they're talk.
Well, maybe they're
already everywhere, Ewan.
Yeah.
Maybe they're a European company. They were a European company, and it's just a Chinese firm has bought it.
Yeah. And they've got the license by the back door. So there you go. China Telecom are going to go and buy AT&T.
Yeah, but it's nice to know that, one of the first world companies...
Well, they can't make it any worse.
Go on, Alex.
It's nice to know one of the first world companies taking over one of the third world countries to try and help them out.
Yeah, USA being the third world country. Very good.
Yeah.
Robert in the chat room, Earth equals China.
Yeah, it's there too.
Kind of. Monetary-wise, it does. It seems that China's the sump, certainly.
Manufacturing-wise.
Now, what have you been doing this week, Kyle? Anything interesting?
So what do you mean? Oh, you mean work?
Yeah. No, anything interesting?
Some work.
What kind of stuff would you have been doing then? You know, just off the top of your head.
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the British Mac fan, Steve.
I am Steve.
Yeah. He approached me this week to do a an ad for his website.
Yeah.
And so I did.
Permission to turn the volume up just a little bit on the live feed because I've got the commercial.
Steve will love that.
But unless you turn up the live feed, none of you will hear it.
Oh. I will say that's the point. We're probably better off not.
The live feed, none of you will hear it. Now, hang on. The only thing that bothers me here, Kyle, is that this is a commercial for the UK's number one online football league administration system.
That's right.
What on earth do you know about football?
I know a lot about football.
Soccer.
I know a lot about soccer. I know a lot about football. I know a lot about putting together an ad.
Oh.
To sell football.
It's got pictures of players.
I was a bit surprised, honestly, because Steve approached me about it and said, would you do this? And I said, you sure? Because you sure you don't want some, you sure you want a Yank doing it? You're not a British guy. And he said, no, you do it. So I was like, okay. So yeah, the only thing he told me is he knew you would be pissed at him, Ewan.
Yeah. Why is he used a Yank for a football thing? And why is he not picked me?
I think he thought he was going to get a Filipino guy.
I've just kicked him out of the chat room. That's why he's not in there. Just barred him. David in the chat room saying he's just been using the Garmin sat-nav a few minutes ago in his car, and the bloke who does it is Siri. Oh, isn't that nice?
Right, isn't it?
You know, I think Siri's Skynet.
No.
Yeah.
Not yet.
She's going to end all of us. She will learn. She will become intelligent. She will kill us.
I'll tell you something just about Siri, which is interesting. The fact that all the nuanced technology, the technology that basically is in Siri now, is 4 to 5 years old. And we're still talking about it as an amazing innovation for the future. I know they've reduced it and they've stuck it into a phone, but if the technology is someone else's and it's 4 to 5 years old, why are we all so amazingly excited?
Well, it's only the speech files that were recorded 5 years ago, wasn't it?
No, but the system, the whole system was another company's system. It's not just the speech files.
Well, it was Nuance.
Thing. Exactly. But we're sort of, this is...
No music.
Sorry.
No music. That's terrible. Because it's how it's used, as Teresa says, and you must never argue with Teresa. But it's just the fact that it is an older technology and it's, you know, basically been licensed...
No. Hang on a second. It's not an older technology. It's an older set of voice files. I mean, they've been using concurrent voice filing for God knows how long in train platform announcements and that kind of stuff. The train now standing on platform 4 is the 265 to Beijing. You know, that they've been doing that stuff for God knows how long. They just haven't done it very well. So once they've got the sound files there, it's just a case of timing, cutting, pacing,
gapping,
that kind of stuff. I mean, Mark, who you used to do the big show with, he used to do them, and he got a technique that he reckoned he could do them so that you couldn't tell the gap because of the way he finished the words. He'd worked out how to finish the words so you wouldn't tell the gap between it.
No, I appreciate the actual voice files, but that's when I was reading something the other day. The voice file, you know, the whole point of the British Siri, and we all know who it is now, and what he did, and when he did it, and the fact that he can say the fact that he can say exactly what he wants because he wasn't working for Apple and he's got no contract with them, and he just told them to get stuff, which I quite admired. And but from what I read, the technology, the way it was written, and the point of doing these files in the first place is it was going into a technology that was Siri-like already, if you like.
But 4 to 5 years ago, it was a research project.
Yeah.
Right. But you're saying that no one's done anything with that for 5 years?
No, the technology has moved on vastly in the 5 years, but you don't need to re-record all the voice files, is what I'm saying.
Right, yeah. So all that Siri 5 years ago was is the voice. There was no...
No.
There
it's the artificial intelligence that interprets the voice, you know, like I say, you know, Siri, make me a sandwich. There's a technology that interprets those words and can do something useful with it.
Sure. Okay. Right. We're on the same page at last. I'm saying that I knew that the voice was 5 years old or whatever it was. The idea of being able to get the nuances of the voice to not sound like it was a robot. Right. But I understood, and I'm quite happy to be wrong for legal reasons, definitely.
Well, you got no choice.
Well, I've got a lot of choices for being wrong. I just don't have to listen to you. It's something I developed by being married. What I'm saying is the actual technology of being able to use the input you're saying is a brand new thing, and this is new for Siri. I thought it was new because it was on a phone rather than new because of
Well, I think you've got to look at where the blurred line is between Apple and Siri after they bought Siri, and then Nuance, who provided a lot of the speech dictation stuff, and Apple have climbed in quite heavily into bed with Nuance. I don't think they own them, do they?
No.
They've got a proportion of them, perhaps, and they've certainly got agreements with them. And it was this idea of, well, we've got this technology, well, we've got this data transfer system and AI unit. Okay, well, what happens if we shove them together? Oh, wow. And it's that process that's evolved over the last 5 years. But once you've got those voice files, you know, once John Briggs has sat down and read half the dictionary, you don't need him to do it again.
Yeah. And now, the original research project, it was a DARPA research project that came up with the AI part of it.
Hmm.
And when that project was over, the people that had worked on it started Siri, the company Siri, to make it into a consumer product. And originally, the voice recognition wasn't Nuance; they used Lingo. And I don't know, have you heard of Lingo? Yes. Not no?
Yes. Yes.
Lingo.
Yes, I've heard of.
Well, they have Lingo. Is they make apps or whatever for Android and stuff. So the technology itself is modular, and it's the AI part that's sort of like really, I guess, the magic sauce. The voice recognition and that stuff can be plugged in with different technologies. You know, I mean, Apple's even had its own very rudimentary technology on the Mac for years, and speech and text to speech as well, but they decided to license Nuances because they basically have the best on the planet now, and made it with the AI part, and that AI part 5 years ago was just a research project.
Hmm.
Yeah, again, just that's a you know, an additional to that. It's quite interesting because if you look at the history of the Apple. You know, we've all been reading the biography. The fact that they've taken an existing technology and gone with it, as in, say, Nuance had already done this voice, which is, to me is slightly un-Apple-like. It's no, maybe that's the future of Apple, but it seems to me in the past they would have done everything they possibly could have done to have their own version in their own way and, you know, bring it out as an Apple-only technology. It's just quite interesting
they've always bought what they considered to be the best. They bought iTunes. That app, iTunes wasn't an app.
Yeah.
App.
They bought Lasseter, haven't they, the 3D modelling thing for maps.
Yeah, I was thinking more along the lines when they wanted to put in the floppy disk drives, and they basically, at the time, they were doing everything, whatever they possibly could to have an Apple-built drive. I know they couldn't in the end because it didn't work.
No, it wasn't. It was there were two companies, both of them. They got Sony Corporation, and then they got this one L8 or whatever it was that never managed to make it. But they were still an external company. They never owned them. They never bought them.
No, but the point was with the company they wanted to go for, it was something that was going to be made for them, designed for them. Mm. Whereas they ended up having to take the Sony already developed pre-built unit, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I don't think that stands out. I think Apple have always, from the right back, have always looked at something that is outstanding in its field and seen a use for it and bought the company.
Yeah.
I mean, they bought Next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The company that does all the guy that invented all the touchscreen stuff that they use on the iPhone, that was a separate company originally.
Hmm. Teresa wants to know if I can do a Siri voice. I'm not sure what that means.
Sorry, I thought that was one of those, when someone does a Japanese voice and they're trying to say, it's just a Siri voice, you know, that sort of
thing. Exactly. Doing it a Siri voice. I can do a Siri voice. Absolutely. You are the weakest link. Goodbye. Right.
The thing about Siri is I found out this week, on the standard iPhone 4, right? Just really quick. Do you know if you tell it to say iTunes, it'll tell you the time? That's how stupid it is.
Siri on standard iPhone 4.
Well, listen. iTunes.
The time is 12:24 a.m.
Well, how have you got Siri on your iPhone 4?
I don't.
It's got voice control.
That's just voice recognition. That's just the voice.
Voice control, yeah.
So what application is that?
Hold down the button.
Oh, voice control.
Hold down the button, yeah.
Calling mom.
No, I don't want to call my mom.
It's because it's in Iowa from the Philippines. And then you lay it on the desk and forget that it's calling for 2 days.
Well, your battery had run out before then.
iTunes.
Voice dialing is unavailable when there is no cellular connection.
Oh, screw you.
Screw yourself.
iTunes.
Multiple matches found for James. Be more specific.
I think it's fairly conclusively proven that Siri is better than voice control on the call.
No question. Oh, we'll take that. Right, have we got a cool thingy? Chris, have you got a cool thing for us?
I do. I'm so excited because it's freezing cold here in Chicago, so I got my winter stuff out. And I have a couple different pairs. This company called Free Hands. And this is, I like this pair because it's really slim, it fits really nice, and they have all the fingers have little conductive threads on them, so you can use an iPhone or an iPad while you have gloves on. Man. But they also make, and I also like these because I feel like I'm in the movie Tron.
Yeah.
So, but they also make a whole variety of ones, and this is their ski glove. If you can get a good look at that.
Okay.
But the finger.
It would help if you held it up to the camera.
It.
There we go.
Is this not right in front of the camera?
There we go. Yeah.
Okay. So the finger and the thumb snap back, and they have little magnets that hold them back, and then you can use your finger and your thumb on your touch screen.
Very good.
Now, a couple different styles.
I have been looking for a pair of those for photography, so I can shoot the guys at rugby without getting my finger cold.
These would work. These would work.
Got an air gun for that.
Yes, very good. I like that. Price?
I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I want to say like they range because they have different styles and they have some knit ones and different things you can get. I'm going to say like $15 to $30.
Okay.
I think they have some really fancy like cashmere ones that are real expensive, like $40 or $50.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. Kyle, where can we get, what have you got? Where can we get a hold of you? Yeah, we don't want to do your cool thing. What's your cool thing, man? Do you want to take your mute off?
Hello.
Don't worry, I can edit.
No, sorry about that. No, I went to turn off the air conditioner. It's freezing. Cool thingy this week. Getting back to my roots this week. Getting back to the free apps. Something I use all the time. It's an app called TechWire. And essentially what it does is it gives you feeds to TechCrunch, Gizmodo, Engadget, Mashable, Ars Technica, Chris, Wired News, Boing Boing, Mobile Crunch, a whole bunch of tech sites. You click on there, you can tweet from there. It's up to date. It's a really, really clever app. It's completely free in the App Store. It's called TechWire.
Very good. Excellent stuff. Andy, what have you got for us?
I've got it's also free, and I did use it during the week, last week, and it was most excellent, and it did exactly what it said on the tin. It's called, he said, clicking on the wrong button on his computer, and now it's all gone wobbly. What's happening here? It's called iPhoto Library Manager by Fat Cat Software.
Right.
And it is a freebie.
Okay.
And it's really good. Basically, one of my clients had done something stupid. They tried to import an email into their iPhoto library, which had destroyed the data iPhoto database. Obviously, iPhoto not liking an email.
No.
So after several attempts and absolutely getting nowhere resurrecting this thing, and no available backup, Obviously, the next thing is just to open the iPhoto package, grab the original files, and just dump them into a new iPhoto library and lose all of your albums and metadata and all that sort of stuff. iPhoto Manager downloaded it, pointed it at the library, said create a new library from that, and it sat there for an hour and spanned through 17 gigs of iPhoto library and spat out a new working library complete with every single keyword and everything in it. It doesn't do just that. It will do the holy grail of allowing multiple users to use the same iPhoto library simultaneously.
You can do that anyway, though, can't you, if the library's open for sharing? Because I've got several Apple TVs that pop off the same library.
Yeah, but you can't edit. You there's a different separate users can't edit the library.
All right. Okay.
So it was very good, and it was free, and it did that one thing that I needed to do really well, and I suspect I'll be using it again.
Mr. Smith has put a link in the chat room for smart touch gloves that are on firebox.com as well as, so they're good. Well done. Price, did you say, Andrew, free?
Free!
Yes, jolly good. Yeah. We like free. Being a bunch of Tommy Tight asses, we like free.
I was going to say, is everyone in Britain a cheap bastard or what?
kind of.
Shut up, you third world country. Oh,
I was going to be more editing then. Well done.
Didn't swear.
No, you didn't. I should know better. Absolutely, Alex. Well done, mate. What have you got for us, pal?
Oh, a tirade. No, not really. Right, the first thing, a very quick thing is, I noticed the other day that I use Toast Titanium, and I don't know what anyone thinks about that, but I find it a very good way of burning discs for work.
Good, but expensive.
Expensive, but this is my point.
For what it is.
But over the last 6 months, I've had little things. I really need to do this. I really need to do that. And I've gone on the internet to find a little program or whatever. And one of them is I wanted to do some backups, like a ChronoSync sort of thing and that sort of thing. And another one the other day, I wanted to be able to actually print off all the files that I had on my computer, just a list, you know, just so I could find things. And I use CoverDisk and various things like that. And I realized that I have used every bit of software now that comes with Toast Titanium. Because I've got the CD Spin Doctor thing, but I've used the cover editor. The disk cataloger was the one I used the other day. I used Get Backup. I've used the TiVo thing. I used the Streamer thing just because it was there and it looked interesting and played with it. So it's actually 7 programs in one. They're all limited to more or less additions of the main program, apart from obviously the Toast Titanium part. But I've now used, because I've actually needed at some point, everything that came in that package. And that really amazed me, because when I bought it, I never even looked at what came with it. I just wanted Toast. Yeah. And the fact that I've now used every single bit of software that comes with it, and every bit of software, it might be their sort of smaller addition, but every bit has done what I needed it to do. And in the long run, I reckon it saved me a blooming fortune. So you talk about free. These programs, a lot of people will already have. And I'd have a really good look in your Toast folder and have a look what comes with it, because there's a lot of stuff there that you might not know you need but are really, really useful.
Okay. Good tip.
I just noticed that I'd used everything, and I thought, that's really fantastic. And the other thing, which is what I really would like to pick, it's just something I mentioned in photo. It's just that 360 panorama piece of software that I downloaded.
Yeah, it's very good.
I was playing around with it, and I was really amazed how clever and how easy it made panoramas and how easy it is to share them. So I can't remember what it cost, but it was a very cheap photo app. I don't think it was.
So it's not free?
No, I don't think that. But, you know, I'll send you the money, damn, Carl, because it was only maybe 69 pence. But, you just get a grid, and you can fill in the whole grid, completely, not only 360 round, but top and bottom. And you've got a sphere, and you can play with it any way you want. You can email it, you can send it, and you can view it on the internet in various sort of ways. It's got an uploading function, so I would recommend that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, you've got to watch the speed that you move it around at. It doesn't track particularly brilliantly at very slow speeds or very high speeds, but if you kind of keep it nice and smooth and even when you move around, it does quite well, definitely.
I'm very impressed.
Mine picks an oldie but goodie, actually, to be honest, and it comes down to I downloaded this, or I said I was going to download this weeks and weeks and weeks ago, but every time I've tried to download it, the servers have been clogged and it's never downloaded. And then this week, I tried to download Batman Arkham Asylum just to see what it was like, and I've ended up getting a refund on that because it won't play. But the downloads had remembered that I'd asked to get this program down, Rail Maze. And it's a great little application. Basically, it's kind of like the rail train apps that you get where you go from place to start to finish. But in with this, you've got like little turntables, and also there's trains that go around that you can't crash into. The train can crash into itself. There's tunnels as well, and you get mystery tunnels and that kind of stuff where you have to figure out where the tunnel comes up. It's really addictive. I haven't stopped playing it since I got it down. And I went and wrote a review saying what a great game it was, but I was a little upset. The only reason it got 3 stars on my review was the fact that it was because it had got pop-up adverts in a paid-for application, and I didn't think that was good. And then I finally realised that it was free. So I had to go back and change my review. I'd forgotten that I hadn't paid for it. There we go. How do I pay for all of this stuff and all of these fantastic applications and these fantastic screens and the panel that are with us? I don't pay any bandwidth. That's the reason. And the reason I don't pay any bandwidth is thanks to UK2.net. They keep us afloat as a network. We are using up so much data each month that if we didn't have them as support for us, we would be really, really screwed. What can you do to help make sure that the podcasts are kept free and that Bagel Tech stays afloat? The answer is dead simple. Go to bageltechnews.com, use the click through from our website. Even if you just want to go there, have a look around and then come away again. Even if you just want to sign into your account because you're already with UK2, please use our click through because it shows that we're sending people through and that you're returning customers, and UK2 are very happy with that. If you want to buy something, even better. Get what you want, stick it in your shopping basket, get to the checkout and use Bagel Tech as your offer code, and you get 15% whatever's in that basket. It doesn't matter, it's anything, any service at all, you'll get 15% off. If you're transferring domain in, then make sure you use another offer code as well as, which is Bagel DNS, and that'll get rid of the DNS management charge that they put into normal customers. Bagel Tech listeners don't have to pay that, so you're getting a double whammy here, getting real, real benefit from it. Lots of you are buying their service. Make sure you use the codes, absolutely. They ring us up regularly and say that people aren't using the codes. But please, please, please use them. And if you're thinking about buying anything, go and check them out first. Check the prices and then remember you're taking 15% off. And as far as I'm aware, if you're talking about renewals and that kind of stuff, if there's an offer of a coupon code, you can put that coupon code in. You will still get 15% off. They're very committed to us. They gave someone a Nintendo 3DS last week in the competition, and they've given everyone who entered a fresh code for 25% off any of their services. So if you entered the competition, you're enjoying a 25% rebate, not just 15%. Fantastic. UKT.net, please check them out via our website because we'd be lost without them. Where can we get a hold of you fellas, Chris?
Well, you can always find me at Ars Technica, so just head over to arstechnica.com and look for my byline.
Yeah, read Chris's stories, no one else's.
No.
Write bad comments on theirs.
No, you should read them all, because there's a lot of good stuff on there. And you can also find me on Twitter, at Forzmac. Always tweeting up a storm.
Look at that. Look at that, Ewan, he's blushing.
Oh, isn't that sweet? Kyle, where can we get a hold of you?
You can find me on Twitter at Kyle Swagger. You can find me at kyleswagger.com. And if you need any voice work, please.
He's your man, especially if it's football, because he knows lots about football.
Especially NFL.
No.
Basketball, too. Soccer. But I'm kind of under contract otherwise.
Andy, where can we get you, pal? The bottom of your shed.
Kyle.
No.
As my own personal professional voiceover artist, tell them where they can get me.
Well, you can find Dr. Happy Mac at drhappymac.com. You can also find him on Twitter at Dr. Happy Mac. He'd be happy to fix all of your Skype problems.
Yeah, based on the fact that he charges an hourly rate, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And Alex, where can we get you, pal?
Where can you get me? You can get me on Twitter at Alex G Fox, and why not, you can get me at Alex G Fox at twitterything.com.
Excellent. Another week of panel podcasting is not at an end yet. Don't forget, we've got the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix on Sunday, and at Monday at 9:30 we'll be reviewing it with the new panel for the F1 GP. So come and join and watch the F1 show. You'll really enjoy it, and it'll be the penultimate opportunity to look at their Only Their Mother Can Tell Them Apart, and we've got a doozy for you this weekend as well. If you can join us, then please do. Monday night at 9:30 p.m. We'll be back with the Daily Show on Monday morning, and now the weekend starts here. In my foresight, I can see that there's going to be red wine involved, and there'll be a headache at some point tomorrow with Guinness. There we go. What a weekend I'm in for.
Delicious.
Have a great weekend. See you soon.